all Tinder and Bumble off, please. Ivan.
I'm going strong right now. Time to do a lady as a kid.
Okay.
Ivan's going to start a new podcast, guys. How to ready? How to bumble your way into Tinder.
I'm going to bumble your mother. Ivan on I will bumble your mother.
And we have a first caller for Ivan. You're the first caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Ivan. I've been trying to get laid for the past 3 years in Bumble. He's not.
Sir, what is your question, sir? sir.
Oh, helping me out. What can I do to make
okay, go to caller two. Okay, caller two.
No.
Go ahead, caller two.
Ay, papito, listen. Ay, Ivan, how is the Latino dating on the Bumble, eh?
Guys, I think it's time for us to get started.
Let's get this party started, everyone. What is going on, people? Today is March 23rd, 2017. This right here on my left is Pedro. On my right, we got Fargini. Whoop. Somewhat off camera is Ivan. I'm Alejandro. And let's talk about Carzio. Hit it, Pedro. Are you telling me we don't have the gong?
No, the gong is still at the old podcast.
All right. Well, this is off to the worst start ever on a podcast.
I'm sorry, Ivan. Make sure you use this camera here for the... Okay, thank you.
For the hit it, Pedro.
Thank you.
But you use it, Ivan.
Yeah, don't use that one because Farshad is in frame on that one.
Oh man,
use this one.
Good, okay. good. That's a good creative choice.
Look. Hey, what do we got today on the agenda, kids?
All right, so on today's agenda, we got a few things we want to talk about. But there's one thing that has been bothering me, and it's just been a pain in my ass. And it's not
hemorrhoids are not something we want to discuss.
Not the hemorrhoids
here.
Or the worms or the fact that I'm not getting any sleep for the last 4 days. But the biggest pain in my ass right now is Chris Harris.
What?
Chris Harris is
How
the biggest pain.
How can Chris Harris be a pain on anyone's ass? He's a fucking saint.
I am extremely disappointed because I was watching the latest Top Gear and he did a fucking trunk challenge.
What were you disappointed about?
Because he didn't even give like any credit to what you've done.
No.
No.
No, no.
We have a TM
no,
on trunk challenge.
No.
Don't we force out that
trunk? Hang on a second. I think we're looking at this in the wrong way. Number one, everyone's been doing, I'm pretty sure there's more people that have thought about this really stupid idea about getting in a trunk before in a car.
Nobody's ever done that.
Hang on a second. The one thing that I'm upset about here is that he fits, and he said he did. I know for a fact. Hey, this is not an insult to anyone. If I fit in those trunks and I fit in the 911 trunk, Chris fits in the 911 trunk,
so
too.
So is this a challenge to Chris?
I've seen him. No. He fits in the trunk. You cannot challenge Chris Harris. He's like...
By the way, he'll beat you in... Racing,
everything.
Street,
no, everything.
In the trunk.
Yeah. I'm just going to stay away from that.
Basically, Chris did that to show his dominance. Like, I even did a trunk challenge better than you.
I did a better trunk challenge than you without fitting in it. I'm like, yep.
I got a better time. You got a better time than you in the
no
trunk
question
challenge.
I'm just sitting here like, absolutely, Chris. And he did. He did. I think it's fucking awesome that people are actually relating it to us. I think that's the cool part.
No, I think that's great.
That's a great
right?
honor. That's a great honor. Just for Chris Harris. Anyone else, I'd be really mad and I'll sue. I will sue.
No, but with Chris, honestly, Chris Harris, Top Gear, and the fact that they're, and again, they didn't, I'm 99.9% sure that had nothing to do with anything we've done. I'm just saying what's awesome is that people look at it and go, whoa, these guys were doing it. That to me is great.
Yeah.
It means nothing more than some people saw our shit and then they saw that and, you know, that was the first time they saw it. So I like that. But for no other reason, I don't think Chris or Top Gear or anyone has an eye on us who's like, oh, we're copying everything they're doing. Nah.
Well, all right.
Nah, I don't think so. Do you? Do you think so, Pedro?
I don't know. To me, I feel like there was the creative response of us doing it. Like, we did it a long time ago and, you know, I know that their turnaround time on these episodes is a much... Yeah. Longer distance, so there could be the possibility that they did
way
this
before
trunk challenge long before
challenge.
We did.
Yeah. Why don't they have us on the show as guests and we'll talk about it on the show? No. By the way, I'm trying everything to bait. I'm trying to do everything.
BBC.
You like saying BBC.
Parsha loves the BBC.
Okay.
The British, you know, broadcasting network.
Okay.
Wait, channel.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, BBN.
So wait, are they going to invite us or they're not going to invite us?
Probably not.
Okay. Thank
Parsha,
you.
Can you reach out to them and find out? I would really appreciate that.
If we were able to not get a single can for free of Mike's Heart Lemonade.
Bottle.
We gotta
no, he's a can. No.
They have cans?
Yeah.
One day we're going to tell the story, the complete story.
One day we'll tell the complete story. So I don't think the BBC will be calling back.
Mike's Hard
soon.
Lemonade is a barometer for us. Whenever I ask, hey, you think we can get this from this and this, always Alejandro brings up Mike's Hard Lemonade, which we'll tell the story next
time. We'll tell the story next time.
So with that said, the trunk challenge,
yes.
I'm curious. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, you were in the back of the Bentley Mulsanne. I guess it was a few weeks ago.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Right. Oh, it was a very lush and delicious trunk, right?
The trunk was delicious, but it had those rugs, the carpets.
The wool, yes. The wool, yeah. The 5-inch wool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, that's fancier than my house, by the way.
It got me thinking, like, if you could only spend the rest of your life in one trunk, what trunk would that be?
There's so many questions to this question.
So do I.
Now, am I going to go to the bathroom in the trunk? Am I really going to live in the trunk the whole time? Or am I going to be able to get out and just live in the trunk?
You could probably get out and walk around, go see what's around you.
So I can do like my regular date, except I just live in the trunk.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my house.
You can't sleep in the trunk and then go cook breakfast in your kitchen in the house.
No, like, that's what I'm saying. Just
the house is gone. The trunk is
my house.
Is your everything.
It's your everything.
Okay. I've been in that situation before. Fargini, what would be yours?
I also have some questions. Just a couple of questions.
Hit it.
Can I bring dates to the trunk?
Of course. It's your trunk.
It's my trunk. Anything I want to do.
You do whatever you do in your trunk.
So it would have to be a mega luxury brand. Yeah, it has to be a mega luxury brand. What do you think is better, the Rolls Royce trunk or the Bentley trunk? And I haven't seen a Phantom trunk.
I don't think we've done a single trunk challenge in the Rolls's.
We did the Phantom.
The Phantom, but not your Phantom. It was Gordon was with us.
Did we do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's like where it started.
You might be right.
I think it was before that.
I think
when it started. That was the official.
So
start
what's your answer?
Probably a Phantom sedan's trunk, which I think is going to be the biggest, plushest
trunk
out there.
Pedro,
you're so cute. Going straight for the luxury. I'm going for a 1965 Ford Galaxy.
Oh my God!
This dude clearly lives out of his trunk.
Let me tell you why.
He knows what he's talking about.
You can fit 10 people in the back of a 1965 Ford Galaxy. Like, I can go get me a hot plate, hook it up in the back with a generator. I mean, I can set it up for the rest of my life.
Okay, because you came up with the question. Clearly, you had more time to prepare for this.
He did research. Took
best
a tape
trunk
measure.
And, yeah.
Of course.
He probably went out there yesterday all day. He was just measuring trunks of old cars.
You have like 1,000 liters of space.
1,000 liters of space. When Pedro buys a car, so how many liters of space are in the trunk?
For reference, one of the biggest trunks in 2014 was the Ford Taurus. In 2014, it had 582 liters of space.
And it's double that?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. That's your final answer?
That's my final answer.
So he's going for volume. I'm going for luxury.
I think I'm going to go for luxury, too.
We've got to go for luxury.
I'm going to make the nice, it better be in the nice. I'm going to go with that Bentley trunk because that's still in my memory right here. That's the one I remember that was just delicious.
And also
being in. And he was humongous.
And you also have a wife. You got to take the wife. It's got to be nice. You got to be Clyde.
I know. My wife is not going to be like, hey, get me in a Ford Galaxy over here. She's going to be like, I need this fucking Bentley thing. Yeah, she's gotten used to nice things.
You need to think about efficiency. You don't need to think about making people happy. Think about the important thing.
There's one. See, I don't care about making people happy. There's just one person in this world that I kind of have to try every single day, and that's my wife.
Right.
That's the only one. So with that said, that's why I'm going to stick to the Bentley.
All right.
Because I think if we got a Ford Galaxy trunk, she'd kick me out of the trunk.
No. She'd leave you in the trunk.
I would be either left on the trunk or deported from the trunk.
Yeah.
If you can do that.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's get out of this ridiculous topic and question. I thought it was a good question, but it was a shit question this week. I'm sorry, guys. I'll try harder. I'll try harder. I won't spend 30 seconds working on this. So hopping into another topic. Yesterday, we saw that BBC America is actually bringing back Top Gear USA.
Yeah.
And this is no surprise, actually.
No. We knew.
This is no surprise. We've known since September.
I think it was August of last year or late July. Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason why we know about that is because they actually reached out and had you audition and all of that, right?
That's correct, Wendy. Hang on a second. Now you're setting this up so that I look like a sore loser. Anything I say is going to be terrible.
That's not true.
Hey, Farshad. Yeah. Don't you fucking go there.
Okay. Well,
that's not true. What I'm setting this up as is I'm setting this up in a way that you see the direction that they decided to take, right?
Well, it was interesting because when they were reaching out to others, right. Let's just say others, the intention was we want to redo the formula. We the U.S. version right now doesn't work. We want to get people with chemistry. We want to do like the original Top Gear, like the Grand Tour type of shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, so why are you calling me? and from there, they went back into the BBC's formula now, the new one, which is, let's just get three complete strangers into one show and see how that goes. And to me, the people that they picked, it's very interesting.
It is.
It's a very interesting combination of people, just like the British one. But I don't know. They were going in one direction that I really liked, and it's not because I was part of that direction, and I was never a part of it, but like I thought and felt like I could be a part of that in that direction, which to me makes the show more relatable. If you just get some people from YouTube, like three guys, I'm not saying us, I really don't mean us, just people that know each other, Shmi, Sam from Seen Through the Glass, and James, Mr. JWW. Yep. Why the fuck not? Those guys know each other, they work great together. Why not? Why can we have new young people that already know each other and can carry the torch for years to go?
That's the important thing is the age. Like you're bringing in a new demographic of people, whereas these hosts that they just selected for Top Gear USA, and even I would even say the ones that they have for the original Top Gear, like it's such a disinteresting like group of people to me. Like
immediately off the bat, like you're saying, and also listen, this is not I'm not trying to insult anyone, the show, nothing. It's a different direction. It's completely different from what we would have done. We're producers, right? So we're
sometimes.
So we pretend that we do shit like that for a living. So we understand how that process works. We understand all the complications that come attached to such a humongous broadcasting network, right? Yes. Like BBC. And then all of the ladder that you have to go through to get to the final answer on a yes or a no about like what type of cast you need.
Yeah,
they were going for the right thing, I thought at first when they reached out and they were like, guys, this is what we want to do, this is a new thing that we're going to try,
right?
And then they brought it back to the old one, and you're talking about age, you're immediately telling the younger audience, guys, we're not going to take care of you, we're going to play it safe, definitely, like always.
Yes.
And that also eliminates your internet audience. That's right. Fifth Gear all over again.
Well, speaking of Fifth Gear, they did bring in a former co-host of Fifth Gear as
I'm a huge fan of the old Fifth Gear. Tiff Nidell, or I've never been able to pronounce his last name because I grew up in Mexico. Nidell, it's in Spanish. He's my shit. I love that dude. And then the show just got too old.
Yeah.
And now the BBC's going back to old. That's just how it feels to me.
So here's who they brought in. And the first one I kind of like is William Fichtner. He's an actor. I didn't know that he was an automotive
phenomenal
enthusiast. But he was in Black Hawk Down, Dark Knight, Armageddon, Prison Break, and my favorite, Blades of Glory.
He plays the greatest character of all in Blades of Glory.
He was Jimmy's dad. Yes, it was
the
amazing.
guy who hates his son and he just drops him off on the side of the road. I love that movie.
Yeah,
what's his automotive?
No one knows.
I'm not too sure what his automotive background is. I want to get to the point on where I think all three of them fit into this equation. But the other two that were selected is drag racer Antron Brown. He's a world champion. And Tom Wookie Ford, who was the former Fifth Gear co-host, and he's a British auto journalist. So with that being said...
hang on. So you're telling me that the British BBC show grabbed an American guy, and now the American show grabbed a British guy?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just wanted to make sure.
So the way that I see that they're doing this is they've seen a little success with Top Gear with now that they have Chris Harris, Rory Reed, and
Matt LeBlanc.
Joey. Yes, yes. Joey. So what they're doing is they're kind of following that format in a way of they're bringing in a charismatic actor, William Fichtner. They're bringing in somebody who is very good driver, Antoine Brown.
Chris Harris.
And then you have the British auto journalist, Tom Wilkie Ford, which is Rory Reed. So they're kind of following that format, and they're probably going to keep these guys off of camera as much as they possibly can and go ham on beauty shots, awesome fucking cinematography. I would say that when we see these episodes, you're going to see about 50% dialogue. That's what I'm thinking you're going to get out of this first one. It's going to be very, very cinematic.
I mean, they better. They have the money to make that happen. Yes. So why not invest in that? I just want to see how the three of them interact with each other.
That's basically the
main thing about one of these shows.
The chemistry.
The chemistry is everything. Yep. If you don't have chemistry on-screen chemistry, you have nothing. It doesn't matter how good it is. You saw that with Chris Evans in the British one.
That was bad.
Do you think chemistry can be developed?
I think it can if the parts really like each other and then they grow together. But it takes a while, dude. It's not like a one-year thing. So let's see how many years they have on this. Does it say how many years they have guaranteed? How many episodes or anything?
I did not see that. I don't even know if they're beyond a season one.
Gotcha.
I think it's just for them to figure out. And
like the BBC, they're going to keep trying and adjusting as they go.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
They were very, very good about, you know, and I do kind of feel bad about Chris Evans because he was put in this limelight and he just did not do a good job and he got a lot of backlash. But BBC made the quick decision and made those changes. They made the changes that were necessary.
Yeah, they adjusted quickly.
Which is good. And you want a company that's going to adjust quickly. But it's a little disappointing and disheartening that they didn't go the route of, you know, picking out a young audience, because they would immediately, if they went with Shmi, if they went with JWW, if they went with Sam from Seen Through the Glass, if they went with you, they're immediately bringing in a million plus viewers.
Built-in audience.
A built-in audience that's already there, plus whatever is already attached to BBC.
It's so hard for these people to understand the reach and the audience from a YouTube channel still. Like, it's still very hard for them to
Agreed.
Know. It's the only time we see people's face light up after we say we're YouTubers is after they work with us. Or they work with a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Because then those people understand firsthand you're getting basically TV promotion way either for completely free or way cheaper than you can get it on TV.
But also it's very direct.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, the engagement, the everything is just so much stronger than what you build on TV. And I think TV networks haven't really gotten to the point where they appreciate that yet, which is great for us because there's still enough room for us to grow even more, hopefully.
Yeah.
Is there
a network for the BBC?
Yes. So AMC Networks has ordered an 8-episode season. So I just saw that. Yeah. So AMC took 8 episodes for the first season.
What do you think a budget from AMC on that would be? Because normally their shows had $500,000 per episode thing.
I mean, in order for them to be
reality
to be successful, considering the people that they hired, I would say probably $250,000 to $300,000 an episode. And then they just have talent fees that are baked
plus
into
above
the
line
whole season. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm including the above the line. I'm just thinking they're going to have to spend at least $4 million on the season.
Yeah. I would say,
I would say so for 8
Definitely.
Episodes.
You have to
make him
you have
out
to, because if you don't come out hard this first season, why even bother doing it? Because it's not going to last beyond that. And with that, before we get out of here, how long do you think that this crew is going to remain intact and that they're going to move forward? Guesses. I mean, you obviously can't tell without seeing some sort of chemistry, but
I'm
going to
say a year, at least a year.
They'll do the 8 episodes.
Yeah,
I think
of course.
Let's see what the 8 episodes.
Well, obviously. I mean, unless one of them starts acting out on episode 1 and then they go, oh, we can do this. Yeah. But other than that, I think they're going to last a
whole
year.
Just make sure your phone's always on, okay?
No one's going to call Farshad.
They're going to call.
Pedro doesn't even call me when he can edit me out of the episodes. He does.
I'm going to go two seasons and then William Fichtner is going to, he's going to back out. He's going to want to get back into the movies and all of that. All right. So let's hop into our next topic. And it's a very interesting one. It's one I've never really thought about, and I'm glad that it got brought up, and thank you for sending over the article, Farshad. And this comes from Motor One.
Motor1.com.
Yeah, so Motor1.com, and it talks about...
That's the only website that Farshad has on his computer available to him.
That and World Star Hip Hop.
Those two, that's it. And I think TMZ.
Possibly. Yeah. It's possibly.
Hey, it could be worse. I could be doing media takeout or whatever. Media. What's that one?
I think it's all
real,
the same. I think it's all the same.
The real ghetto one, the media.
I don't know. I don't even know that.
So the article they sent over was it was a breakdown of Porsche's profits per vehicle.
Oh.
And it was a very interesting one because I didn't really think about those kind of numbers before, but what it's saying is that per vehicle, Porsche is profiting $17,000 per vehicle. And industry average is somewhere in between like $3,000 and $5,000 per vehicle, where a company like BMW is at $5,000 or Daimler is at $5,000 per vehicle. But the most interesting part of it all is in the article, it cites Ferrari makes $90,000 per vehicle. And that includes all of their merchandise, that includes all of their theme parks, everything. It bundles up to $90,000 per vehicle.
Okay.
So that's...
Hang on. What? Who's... hang on a second. Did you just say that Ferrari's counting in their $90,000 per vehicle, the sale of T-shirts?
Yes, of course. Of course. Like,
but hang on. So what... Hang on. No, he doesn't. What the fuck is Porsche counting into every sale of each car?
Their cars.
Just the car?
Their cars, yeah. Just their cars.
Are you sure about this?
I'm sure about that because I have another number for you. If you start to include all of the other stuff that Porsche does,
yeah,
their profits come out to $99,000 per vehicle.
Nice. I like how Ferrari always comes up with a big estimate. They're like, we're number one in profit. If you count all the T-shirts and everything else, no problem. And then Porsche's like, no. If we count those, it's $99,000. And they're like, yes, but in the article, it didn't say that about you. It said the $17,000. We're the 90.
No, it's an interesting article, interesting topic. And another thing that they were highlighting was Porsche's output per year and how it has grown. Like their output has grown 47% year over year, which is incredible. And do you know what their biggest selling car is?
The Cayenne.
I want to say the Cayenne or the Panamera.
Macan.
The Macan now.
Because it's the most affordable.
Yeah. And with the new four cylinder. That makes so much sense. $50,000.
I love the Macan that we had. Loved it.
Yeah, the Macan was great.
Yeah.
The Macan was great.
Wow.
Incredible.
That is really good. Okay, yeah. So Porsche's always been very efficient at that. Also, because of how many units they move, how many super sports cars, if you will, are moving. They make their own brakes, so they maximize every single bit of
all the bits and bobs, yeah.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, but also they're pulling from the Volkswagen, like, you know, the Macan. Well, they're Q5, actually, like...
They do. They 100% do. So they're bettering their systems, right? And you're becoming more efficient and quicker at developing something because, using a base is way cheaper than creating from the ground up.
Yeah.
So, and it's also safer. But I think Porsche is just... it's killing the game. And they have been since the fucking Cayenne came out.
Yep.
Ever since they did that, all of their cars have been incredible. Like,
well, they say they take all the money from the Cayennes and the Macans and put it into the GT3s.
They invested over $1 billion in development for that 918, and it feels like that. You get into the P1, you get into LaFerrari, you start seeing like the little kinks of like the cheaper cars, whereas the Porsche just felt, out of those cars, the most solid, everyday, usable car.
Yep.
Hands down, and like the most reliable workhorse.
Of course, and it's going to continue to grow with the introduction of all the new cars that they have coming out, especially within a couple of years, the Mission E and how that's going to affect it. So it's going to be exciting times for Porsche moving forward.
I appreciate the shit out of this. I like these numbers. I like to know. I like to know margins. Obviously, they're not moving as many units as Daimler, so that's why Daimler at $5,000 a car, they're making pretty.
So let me negotiate next Porsche you buy, because we're like, hey, get the fuck out of here. You're making $99,000 on this car. Come on over here.
But you negotiate that on a Boxster that's like $78,000.
Yeah,
you got to go there and be like, you're going to make $99,000 on this car. Come on.
And I think you're aware, you know you get a free factory pickup with Porsche, right?
Yeah, if you ask for it.
What do you mean a factory pick?
We should do that.
German delivery.
We should do that with the GT3.
German delivery.
You got to do that.
I already asked for it on the GT3.
What did they say?
They said, yeah.
Oh, we're going? Should I pack my bags?
Hang on. Are you ready for this?
Pack your bags. We're going to Milan.
Whoa. You know, that's one of my favorite quotes.
I love that.
Bad news on that. Because I want PTS. None of this has been granted for real.
Okay.
I want a manual. That's not changing. That's easy. But I want PTS and I want something else and I want European delivery. They're telling me that they're going to have to push the slot of building like my car's slot I think until October, November for it to start being built. And then I'm going to get delivery January or February of next year.
That's not too bad.
I know.
But the weather would be...
Also, remember, I tried doing German European delivery on the Mercedes, the AMG GTR. Mercedes doesn't do that, but they said they would do it for us and start a program, which is awesome to know that Mercedes is...
That is awesome.
...willing to do all of these things. Problem. They delayed the car until August now. And they're saying European cars until August.
So everything until August.
Well, think about this. They came out with the AMG GT.
Right.
And the GTS, or whatever you want to call it. Then they came out with the GTR. They announced the GTR. So it's been like, wow, awesome. The GTR is coming out. It's going to be great. Then I feel like Mercedes at that point realized, fuck, we also have the convertible version. And we need to put that out before the GTR comes out so that everyone buys a convertible version of the GTS. And they're releasing the convertible now.
Well, it's the season now.
But that makes no sense to me because, like, the GTR, they almost sold it and pitched it as like a very limited edition.
They're going to
kind of one-off.
Okay, so the GTR, and I know this for a fact, has an ongoing production like the GT3 RS.
Oh, got it.
So they're going to come out with the limited version of that car when they come out with the Black Series.
Oh, okay.
So the AMG GTR is going to be a very rare car when it first lands.
Okay.
For like about 6 to 8 months.
So this week then, on the verge of depreciation.
No, do not. Do not include it yet. There's still some time. There's still... I hope there's still some time. But yeah, that's terrible news for our European deliveries.
But also the weather would have been shitty too.
Now?
No. If we would go October, January.
Well, we're going to have to go around like September if we go. And then you're right. Weather's going to kill us. Yeah. So what you're saying is we should go buy another car and get European delivery?
I think so. How about a Panamera?
I want to get a Panamera Turbo, but I need to wait a little bit because of all the changes that are coming.
Well, but
right
the thing
now.
Is, you could place
the order. Hang on. I love that we just did a garage update.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, guys. Let me just break into whatever we're talking about into this. We were doing a garage update, and we're like, none of the cars are leaving. The shit that you're seeing is going to stay. Everyone complained about the Rolls-Royces. Oh, you have your old dad's garage, whatever. I'm like, all right, whatever. No problem. I understand this is part of it. And now we have some exciting shit coming into the garage. So now the Carrera GT is coming back. A lot of people are looking at it. Yeah, and they don't understand. They're like, oh, so you couldn't sell it? No, homie, now I can keep my CGT and buy more shit. With that said, you're going to see not only the CGT coming back, but my plan originally is I want to buy a hypercar every month for the show because the economy is going to shit right now. I mean, prices are tanking, so you cannot just stick to one car for the long run because we have the 2019 Mercedes, the yep. Project One coming.
Yep.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. So until then... There's nothing like sexy appealing coming out that I can get. Like I'm not on the list to get the McLaren, the BP, whatever.
We're just waiting. We're waiting on Trump to drop those emissions regulations, and then we'll start bringing in Zondas. And
once President Trump does that, then he's going to open the world to something new to us. But for now, we're going to have to stick to the so boring new hypercar every month. I'm going to try to get a hypercar, a brand new hypercar, not a brand new because they're all mostly used. One of those a month.
Okay.
And what's the first one you would like to buy?
2 to 3 months. P1, LaFerrari. I wouldn't be opposed to a LaFerrari. I'm a big fan of cars that break down and don't deliver. But so you'll see the CGT coming back. It's got a wild wrap on it. Everyone's talking shit about it. It's not pink. It's ruby stone red. It's one of the sexiest Porsche classic colors out there. And I understand it's not for everyone. But then again, I've never done anything boring. I've never played it safe.
Yep.
And it's paid off in any fucking way, shape, or form. Everyone does the boring. Everyone does the normal. I'm not here to being wild. I'm just here being me, which is stupid and crazy. So that's what you get. And we're going to see CGT coming back and some new toys. So right now, everything's about to change again. So
speaking of, have you seen RDB's Instagram and what they've done with the CGT so far?
guys, go
look and see the stage that the CGT is.
Hopefully they can put it back together. Not us, Pedro.
I want to. I think it'd be amazing. I've always taken things apart and put them back together. That's my favorite thing.
What if Vic hands you a box and goes, these are the extra parts. We do not know where they go.
I'll start crying. But I know,
he won't charge you the 70 grand.
But I was going to say, but I know Vic's got me for the regular 70 grand.
That car was completely taken apart. That's amazing.
I took a lot of pictures of it today.
No. In all seriousness, we've gotten how many wraps on our cars, and you've seen them all. This, I never seen what they do. They're taking the whole car apart and putting it together and then just wrapping it.
Every wrap I've seen is just they put the wrap over it.
Me too. Everywhere. And these guys are just like taking the car apart and putting it together. Mm-hmm. And forget about the quality. We're not praising RDB just to praise him. Honestly, the wrap is just, it looks like paint.
Yeah,
like
it does.
The car is fully painted. And there's nothing cooler than being able to bring one of your older cars, get a refresh, have it all look like brand new, and drive it again because it makes you excited about it.
It's going to be a head turner for sure. This one's going to be a head turner.
Is there accent colors on it, or it's just going to be that one color?
So far, I think it's just going to be that one color, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mentioned to you like acid green accents on it would be amazing, but I went there today and I saw the yellow brake calipers and I was like, you know what? Some yellow against that would be pretty damn delicious.
So maybe some lines, but I'm so pumped to have it back. Yeah. And it's whoever I need to thank for whatever's going on in my life. Thank you.
So here's the biggest issue now. There's no more room for cars in your garages.
I know. And right now I'm actually going to go to Rolls Royce and talk to the guys and talk to my wife and make a couple of adjustments and see what we can bring.
Consolidation.
Consolidation, baby.
We're going to have a new segment called Consolidation Corner.
It's once a week apparently now. Yeah. I feel so. Every single time we make a garage update, shit like this happens, which we need to make more garage updates then.
Yep. Of course. I like that. Garage updates are a very successful segment on the
hell
channel.
Hell yeah.
But speaking of like new like things happening in the industry and like buying cars, getting rid of cars. There's one collector in particular that I'm really, really bummed out for this week, and that's Pink Floyd's drummer Nick Mason. He's a huge, huge car collector, and he had his F1 GTR out at Goodwood this past week and lost control and wrecked it. Yeah. Yeah.
Give a round of applause to this motherfucker who's a legend, not only in the music world, but he's driving his McLaren F1 that's worth $20-30 million on the track. Like it's like it's nothing. Like I drive I'll be driving my Beetle. And he's just driving his F1.
Let's be honest. He was probably driving it a lot harder than
way better. Oh my God. And then he crashed it. And did you see that article? There's a guy that I follow on Instagram, Andy24B. I can't remember his Instagram handle right now. He owns a McLaren F1.
Oh, wow.
He owns a P1 GTR, like crazy cars. And he posted that article from the Daily Mail, is it called?
Yeah, the Daily Mail. Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
The guy goes, oh, Pink Floyd's guy crashes his car and crashes his 3 million pound or 3 million euro McLaren. I was like, motherfucker, you find the $3 million McLaren F1. You guys call me.
Call me now.
If anyone finds a McLaren F1 for $3 million, anything, just call me, please.
But even at $5 million, you'll take it.
Hey, Farsa, why are you negotiating against me?
I'm just saying, even at $5 million. By the way, that's probably $3 million in damages that he's going to have.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter because the car is worth so much money. Even if you spend $2 million fixing it,
do you know what the production numbers on those were?
Yeah.
We were talking about this, Pedro. What is it that you found out?
So there was actually 64 F1s that were created. Original F1s. Then there were some prototypes. There were some one-offs like the long tails and things. And then there were 28 F1 GTRs that were made. A handful were street legal, and the rest were track only. His is one of the street legal. Yeah, his is a street legal.
A very valuable
GTR.
Car, yeah.
Very, very valuable. At least, like, just at the bottom, $15 million.
No.
I'm just saying that at least at the bottom, $15 million, and it can go upwards of $45 million. Like, it can go way, way up
If you want that car today, because a regular, just an F1, chassis 69, remember, they offered that to
me
last year. I don't know why, but I'm very flattered that they thought I had that much money. 14 million euros on a regular chassis car.
Yep.
So can you imagine how much this is? This is a 25 to 30 million euro car.
Yeah. I mean, that would...
So they were just 10 times wrong.
That would be the speculation. But the last one that they have here that they're citing that sold was Mr. Bean's. Rowan Atkinson. And he crashed his twice and sold it in 2015 for 12 million euros. $12 million.
But that was just a regular car, too.
Yeah. And that was
a
high
miles. So I think he has had high miles on
of
it.
Of course. Of course he'd had. He drove the car. What can we talk about what a legend Mr. Bean is? Yes. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What?
We're getting a poster. Right? We're getting a poster.
We're getting a poster of Mr. Yes. Bean. Today we found out that he is the inspiration of a lot of comedy in this world today. So
a lot of comedy in this room.
And it's especially a lot of comedy in this room. So we're going to throw a little homage here in the office to Mr. Bean.
And I'm sorry. And I think you're the closest thing to a Mr. Beaner.
That is fucked up, but true.
You wouldn't take that. You wouldn't take that title?
I'll take it all day, homie.
Okay, thank you.
All day. All day.
All right. So with the F1, there was also some other news that came out this week from McLaren themselves, where they said that they are, in fact, making the BP23 three-seater F1 successor with just as many production number as they had in the original F1 with 106.
Hang on a second. You're telling me that McLaren confirmed what we talked about a year ago?
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't the CEO say no?
Of course he did. He went out. Remember that Autocar released that press release saying that the car was coming out, and they immediately sent another one saying that Autocar UK, it was the source. And then another press release immediately followed by that where the CEO of McLaren came out like strong. You can tell that that leaked, and McLaren was like, nope, you cannot talk about this yet. And they were like, yeah, the CEO of McLaren said that he's not building a naturally aspirated V12 engine F1 car. It's like semantics, dude. We all know that you're building the fucking car. We've all seen the paperwork. And at first, when I first saw it, when I saw the first sets of paperwork, I thought they were just building 64.
No. So they were saying that they're building as they said that they were building as many as they did the F1 plus F1 GTR.
And,
so they're making 106.
And I think that's where my confusion came, where they made 64 road production regular F1s.
Yeah.
And I thought they were going to make 64. So maybe the 104 was the number that
106.
They were always, 106.
Yeah, so the weird thing about it is that they made 106 total F1s, including all of like the track versions, the long tails, all the just the random ones. It was 106 total. But for this one, they're making 106 BP23s that are not going to be track. They're not going to create any track variants, and they're not going to create any open tops.
And when I first read about this car, the other weird thing was they were not going to make it street legal.
Right.
And now it's a fully street legal car, no track version.
Well, but here's the quote directly from McLaren. A car designed for long journeys, but with the high levels of performance and driver engagement expected of any McLaren.
And the benefit of getting a handy if you're the driver.
Exactly.
From two sides.
Double handy.
Double handed. What a legendary hand job that'd be.
But the problem is you'd have the girl or the guy would have to be in the driver's seat.
Fuck. Hang on a second. I was going to say that would be a great vlog if we can pull it off, but I don't think my wife's going to be down.
I don't want to. Wait, what?
No. No one said with you, Farshad, and you, Pedro. No one said that.
Count me out.
I was immediately. Hang on. That would be like the ultimate sexual car fantasy of any guy that loves the McLaren F1. Buy the brand new BP or an F1, sit in the driver's seat, drive it as hard as you can, and get a double handy. Wow.
When we see this in a porno, we are the first ones to talk about this. That would be
the highest budget porn ever. Just to ensure that
when
car
you get
alone.
One of these, when you get one of these.
Unfortunately, you can't insure for porn.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's so many restrictions. Yeah. Poor guys.
Yep.
Wow.
So the only reason why I know that is because when you're filling out insurance paperwork for production companies,
I know.
The two questions they ask you is, are you filming a hip-hop music video or are you filming porn?
Are you serious?
Swear to God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Do you know how much the car is going to be?
I don't know how much the car is going to be.
I want to buy one of those so bad.
It would be amazing.
If I could, hey, if anyone knows anyone at McLaren and anyone knows anyone at McLaren that bought one that's dropping the order for some reason at Sticker, just for some reason, okay, guys, just call me.
And you'll even do the hand job.
God.
at that point, it's negotiable. Depends on how sexy you are.
So they're doing...
Saying no, by the way.
They're working with the customers. Oh, my God. They're working with the customers right now on doing the specs of the cars. And they're working directly with MSO on this. I can't even imagine where you would begin specking this car and the process that it would take. One, to coordinate and make sure that you're not getting the same spec as anybody else on this car because it's so rare. Like, you want to go ham on this.
Now, see, back in the day, you used to spec cars for buyers to buy it from you for a higher price, and you used to go safe. Black, white, silver, those were the safe colors. Yep. If you had a weird color, it's like, oh, no one's going to want to buy the car. Right now, there's a frenzy over like the highest spec, crazy carbon fiber, crazy colors, crazy stitching, crazy everything. But it's who can make the most epic spec without going too wild. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
That's kind of like what I went for with the 730S. Now called the Donatello.
can I ask some logistical questions with the three-seaters?
Yes.
So how do you, the armrest, how do you deal with?
I don't know about
armrest.
So I don't know about that. I've seen the F1 and how it, there's no armrest. It's just you and the steering wheel.
Yeah, you wouldn't have an armrest. They're just assuming that you're going to be holding on 10 and 2.
And it's also no interesting. It's
how
also,
much is this car?
No. It's also very interesting to think how much a driver, the driver of the car, has to go through to get into that seat. Does that make sense? Yeah. You got to cover a lot of space in the tub. Like a big boy.
We're not getting in.
No.
I don't know if you fit in the car in the first place because you're 6'4".
Yeah, that's the other thing is they said that the driver's seat is going to be kind of a normal size, like regular size seat, and then the other two are going to be a smaller version of that.
Smaller?
Yeah. So
for your wife and girlfriend.
It's 100% guaranteed to be a car for the baller and two women.
No question. I agree. That's the real baller.
I agree.
Oh, my. I need this car. Not for anything else. I'm married, guys, but I just need it. Please, let
for
me just
Fiona
make
and
my
Bella.
Fantasy.
Huh? Fiona and Bella.
I put Fiona and Bella.
For your girls.
That would be awesome. Oh,
so yeah. And then a cup holders.
You just made it so adorable.
I know.
You're welcome.
How do we deal with the cup holders and where does the driver's cup holder?
I don't think you can cup hold shit in that car. I think it's mostly just.
And also with the side airbag, the driver's screwed.
Yeah, I can't imagine logistics of making this car.
How is that going to pass EPA standards here in the U.S.?
Because I guess they'll say, hey, at least two people will have the side airbags.
This is why I thought it was going to be a track car, and then they were going to sell an upgrade to make it street legal.
Yeah,
that's my thought.
So this car is going to land in 2019 as well. So
all of them, all these hypercars.
So 2019 is
going to
be
then.
The year of all years.
Chiron. Chiron. They're saying 2018 now.
Should be 2018. Yeah.
Okay, but 2019 is when all of the cars are going to be really on the street. 2019, Project One. 2019, Aston Martin Valkyrie. 2019, BP whatever.
23.
Hey, Porsche.
Mission E.
This is the one car I can get. Porsche, can you guys get on whatever you're going to build in 2019?
No, they're not. They said the next one, guys, the next 918 is 2025.
Yeah. But that's what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
Porsche is one of the most secretive companies out there.
You think they're just going to come out like, bing, bing.
I hope so, because this is the one car I have a shot at getting. So
For now.
Until like 3 days go by. And then they're like, no, you cannot get that either, Alejandro. Okay.
Do you remember that original F1? Nobody wanted to buy it. You think it's going to be like that this time?
No. All of these collector guys already like, oh, here's my production slot. Car's going to be sitting in that part of my garage the whole time. It's going to be gorgeous.
But no miles.
But this is the other thing. Is like we live in an era now where people want to show off things.
But they do it on Instagram now. But they don't take them out.
That's what I'm saying. They have a platform to show off the things that they have, the luxury that they have. Back then, the F1, like it's almost like a car. Like if you knew, you knew.
No one knew what it was in the street. Yeah.
Instead of miles, now it's like, how many likes does your car have on Instagram before you buy it?
No. A lot, and that's a real truth. A lot of people are buying these cars just so they can get some likes on Instagram, which is more than understandable.
Yeah. So when you sell your McLaren, you're going to be like, well, I have 50,000 likes.
I was going to say, it's just so much money spent on likes. Just open a YouTube channel. It's equally as expensive.
And show your...
what do you think these guys are at right now? How much are they paying for their likes? Like... per car, would you say it's like $25 per like, or are they even?
Can I do a real quick number?
Yeah,
just 1 second.
Please do a number. Real quick.
Let's pause this. Let me have a calculator. 1 second. Here we go.
By the way, I can verify these are real calculations. He's not just messing around.
$400 a like. If you just consider one post per one car, $400
a like.
That's what people are willing to pay.
That's the going rate these days.
That's the going rate.
Holy crap.
But that is if you get the amount of likes that I'm doing with the collector that I'm doing with how much money he spent on his car.
You know what I like about this?
That's just one car, though. He bought many more.
What I like about this is right now we can go into a Agera and we can start pitching them the idea of selling cars based upon likes. You know how like you walk into a commercial building. Oh, we're gonna lease this to you for $3 a square foot.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting $400 per like with this car.
Oh, what if the EPA now makes it like a thing where you have to put it on the sticker how many likes this car will provide you with at the very minimum. At the very minimum. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. So the more likes for the less money that you get, you're doing great. Like you're doing great.
Exactly. Right,
$400 is a lot of money. I can get you a different kind of like for $400, by the way.
What's that for, Shane?
You don't want to ask him.
So I don't have anything else on my agenda here other than Farshad's headlines of the week.
Boom! Oh,
we need like some kind of intro noise or something.
Here we go.
No. By the way, Pedro, can you try to insert one of those?
Of course. Okay, I can.
If you hit the zinger.
If I hit it right.
There you go. Are you ready for Guinea?
Here we go. Okay, first one up. Maserati Levante recalled for gearbox shifting into neutral. That's not good. So when they asked Maserati when this problem will be fixed, Maserati replied, "Hey, man, we got much bigger problems to solve. We got 2016 still on the lot. We still got 2017 to 2015.
2017.
There's
now.
A new Ghibli coming. We can't drop that."
They can't fix. So what you're saying is they won't be fixing that.
Not until they fix
business model? Yeah, okay, yeah, sounds exactly. good.
Okay.
I'll be waiting for that, Maserati.
BMW fully autonomous level 5 car due by 2021. Wait a minute. Can I see how level 3 and 4 went before I get in level 5? Let me just see the progress.
On a BMW, right? Yeah.
I'm not jumping straight into a level 5. Let me see how you guys did on the other levels.
Also, how do you know if your BMW, like the self-driving BMW, will have like blinkers and all of that stuff? What if it just acts like a regular BMW driver?
That's what level 5 is. That's what level 5 is.
That would be so scary.
Honestly,
that would be so scary.
I'm asking a serious question. Would you get into a fully autonomous BMW?
Nope. Go on.
Okay. Intoxicated BMW line workers pass out, cause $1.06 million in production losses.
That's it?
So, guys, finally some fun cars coming out of BMW. Here we go. finally, some excitement and fun. Do you guys know the story?
No.
These two guys, they come on the line. Like, I think one was Polish. I don't know where the other guy was.
Workers.
The workers, okay. On assembly line workers, they start drinking and smoking synthetic marijuana.
Marijuana?
Yeah. So they clock in, right? They start getting hammered. And like halfway through the shift, they're passed out, okay? And production had to be stopped for like an hour or 2 hours or something like that. And now the BMW is saying that shutdown cost over $1 million in damages.
Oh, my God.
That's why you don't drink and smoke weed while you're at the job.
Building BMWs.
Speaking of BMWs, really quick. But
they are building BMWs.
I had a question, and I forgot to ask it on the BP23.
Yeah.
Do you think BMW is involved with that project with McLaren? Do you think that that's the one that they're involved with?
Do you think they're going to do an homage to the original one?
No. They're not going to build that engine.
I'm just asking that. Like BMW is involved with some project on McLaren. Do you think that that's what this is?
They all do now. They all cross synergize together. Yeah. That makes
great.
Any
so
sense.
We're getting a 3 series engine in the new McLaren.
I don't even want to think about that.
I3.
Go on. With you.
Oh man! All right, let's change the subject. Okay. Next one. Aston Martin Rapide.
Mm-hmm.
To lose V12 and go all electric in 2018.
Really?
And I don't have any zingers for this, but I just thought this was really interesting. To go all electric.
By 2018?
By 2018, next year.
I just want to call Matthew and ask him, hey, are you already done with that powertrain?
Oh.
Do you think he's building that?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
That's such exactly easy. What, I didn't even think of that.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Easy turnkey solution.
Yeah, dude, they're already working
that
with
was,
them.
That was that wink wink that Rimac was doing when they said we can't announce everything that we're doing.
I think so. Holy because shit. To me, that was a perfect partnership. Also, I also recommended Mercedes to do their big car through Rimac and Rolls-Royce to do their cars electric now so we don't have to deal with the gearboxes and the incredible amount of gas that we have to put in those cars. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Mate and Rimac are working on this because I would love to go back into Aston. They make beautiful cars.
If there was
a DB12, for example, the next one, and it was all electric powertrain, that would pique your interest?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, just show me. I am just the biggest nerd out there, so just show me something cool.
And I think this...
Something different, this something special. Come up with some shit that's brand new that I've never seen.
Yeah, like... We all love the rawness of an analog and hard driving car, but you can't beat technology. Like, there's something about the technology that you're like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. Like, you're pushing limits. Like, that's amazing.
I want to say to all my car guys out there just crying and bitching about, like, the change and the fact that, you know, oh, manual and naturally aspirated and just bitching and moaning about that. Start falling in love with change. Start falling in love with technology, bitches, because the world ain't stopping for your complaints. You know how everyone complained when Facebook changed their shit to their timeline? And everyone still used Facebook, but we still had to hear everyone complain for 4 weeks?
Yep, or when everybody...
This is what you guys sound like right now.
Yeah, exactly. Or when we stopped doing car reviews and it's been nothing but bitching. But yet, you're still here watching the channel.
It's the weirdest shit ever. It's the weirdest shit ever. We do the best is the car review that we snuck in the we're not doing a car review and only like 7 people noticed that it was a car review. Yeah. We did that was a goal of ours, right? On that video in the 911R, we said we don't want anyone knowing that we're doing a car review, and it worked pretty well.
I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it did.
Yeah.
And people were disliking because they didn't like the title of it.
Well, no question. Well, it's my job to provoke people. It's our job to make people feel.
Of course.
We're disruptors.
Because if you're just watching something without either making you smile, without making you angry, without making you happy, or without making you sad, you're just wasting your time, homie, and I'm not here to waste your time.
So here's the video I'm excited for. We're going to shoot this next week, is why I'm selling my Porsche 911R.
Don't you fucking dare. Don't you dare that. Everyone's saying that, oh yeah, now next video that's coming is selling the 911R.
Farshad, you got any more zingers?
We got one more.
Hit me.
By the way, thank you for bringing back the index cards. I love the index cards.
I love that he's throwing them, and they're all landing back
coming either back, in boomerang. His hand
or hitting Ivan in the face.
Poor Ivan.
They're boomerang.
As he edits, he's like,
ah! Poor Ivan over there trying to work.
I know.
Fisker back in the news.
Oh, God. Can we end the episode?
All right. Thank you so much for watching, guys. Go ahead.
Fisker teases new VLF Force One V10 Roadster.
Whoa.
I don't have the zinger. Alejandro's going to provide the zinger. One of my favorite things about Alejandro is when he does an impersonation of Mr. Fisker when he has a brand new product to announce.
All right,
a short version of this.
Here goes the announcement. Are you guys ready? All right, guys. We're ready for the next thing that's going to break the internet, the world, and the car world. You guys ready? We're going to do a car so complex and so different. It's called the VLF Force One V10 Roadster. And this car will have a V10. Will it have a V10?
That's what it says, a V10.
Okay, it'll have a V10.
No,
it'll be the most efficient V10 in the world, and it'll give you 1,000,000 miles on electric power.
I think V10 is just part of the name.
The
it's name? Not
No, I think
V10.
It's a V10. I think it's a V10.
A V10 electric?
Okay.
No, it's not electric.
Hang on, hang
it's
on.
Not
either way, no matter what we announce here, the car's never going to be done.
That's okay? The whole point.
Let me just keep going with my fantasy. Okay. Let me be the guy who announces this. Guys, today we're going to release a new VLF Force One V10 Roadster. This car will not only have a V10 engine, it'll also give you 1,000,000 miles per charge. And all of the 7 doors in the car will open like a butterfly taking a shit up in the air. That's going to be epic. No one's doing this shit. Cut to. Everyone's like, yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
3 months later, second press release.
Okay, so my outfit's not going to be as ready anymore. I'm going to look a little frazzled. Hey, guys. So let me just get my cards right here. The VLF Force One V10 Roadster, we're changing just the name a little bit. It's going to be the VLF Force One four-cylinder Roadster. And I know we said 1,000,000 miles per charge. I know, guys. I know. And listen, we got a little excited. We heard some technology that was available in this crazy country. But the car's going to be able to do 1,000 miles, okay? Not 1,000,000, just 1,000. And instead of 7 doors that open like butterflies taking shits up in the sky, we're just going to do 2 of those doors like that, okay? Hey, all right. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Great.
I cannot wait to show you the car.
Press release number 3, 3 months later.
Hey, guys. Okay, so we finally got the car down. We created the first prototype, and it's working. I'm very proud to announce and very confident in this car, the VLF Force One There's no V anymore because there's no engine. We try to go with an electric powertrain that delivered 55 miles per charge. None of the doors open weird. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. This is the last press release.
This is the last press release. Fuck this car, guys. Fuck it. We're not doing it anymore. We're done. Thank you. Oh, no. This is the final press release. We're now doing and developing the new V75LFGT75 Roadster with a roof on, but still Roadster. That'll give us 89 million miles through the charge.
And we'll see you at the next press release.
And we'll see you at the next press release.
Guys, that's it for today's episode. I can't believe you stuck it out this long. There are many ways to connect with us. Once again, one being through salamandra.com. Memberships on the site allow us to continue to do this show. Thanks for all the amazing topics you sent this week. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram.
Wait, why does he always announce the newest project on his last project when it's not done?
You can also email me at hitapedro@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys. I'm Pedro. That's Farshot, and you guys all know Alejandro. See you next week.
Peace.